Previously on the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
The first thing we did, actually, it's become a tradition, we bought a 50-50 ticket. Anyhow, so then we finally find our seats and we sit down, and it's the first inning, and the pot's already, and it shows on the scoreboard, it's constantly increasing.
Right.
In the first inning, the pot was already $90,000.
Holy smokes.
I mean, it's that divided by two.
Yeah,
but still.
Yeah, still.
Anyway, they do the draw in the eighth inning, and by the time they did the draw, the pot was like $190,000.
Oh my God.
We didn't win.
I was like, why are you telling me about the 50-50? I've been to a million games with a 50-50. Is Josh about to tell me that they won?
Like, no.
No.
But the reason I mention is because right after they did the draw, everyone laughed.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is on now.
Skippy.
Hey, what's up?
Well, it's an exciting time of the year, as we mentioned on our last show, because playoffs are starting in two leagues and baseball started. Plus, you know, springtime is always a fun time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even mention soccer.
No, you didn't. I feel like I should be devoting more time to baseball, like specifically like my fantasy team and seeing how things are developing at the beginning of the season. But it's such a long season, baseball, that like I feel like I need to just put it aside and focus on, like, well, of course, the NHL playoffs. That's like, we're Canadian, so it's what consumes us, the NHL playoffs. It's a beast, right? It's everywhere. And, you know, even the NBA playoffs, which I'm interested in. So
yeah, I mean, like you said, I enjoy baseball. It's one of my favorite sports, but I just can't seem to get excited about it until the NHL playoffs are done, or at least until the Canadians are eliminated, which could be very soon.
Right. You know, but what's interesting about like these three sports kind of overlapping is the city where you're living in Toronto, is like, I was wondering like how the fans are going to be and how much coverage everything is going to get. Are the Raptors going to get completely overshadowed because the Leafs are in the playoffs? And the Blue Jays' terrible start, is it front page news, or is it kind of back page news again because the Leafs and the Raptors are both in the playoffs? Like,
I'm glad you asked, because I was actually going to mention it. So I'm glad you asked. So yeah, the Jays are 1-8, but if we could rewind to 6 days ago, because it was complete pandemonium in this city six days ago. 6 days ago, the Leafs were on the verge of clinching a playoff spot, which they eventually did. And the Jays were like 1-2 or something like that. And the Raptors had already clinched a playoff spot, and TFC had started their season. So I've never really experienced this, because, I mean, I've only lived in Toronto for whatever, 13, 14 years, which seems like a long time, but it's not, because there's never really been a year where all the major sports teams in Toronto have been good at the same time.
Yeah, well, the Leafs haven't been good for a while.
Right.
And the Raptors haven't really made noise in the playoffs until the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. Each year kind of getting a little bit better, right? And TFC's been a joke up till last year.
Right. So this is the first year where that I'm living here, that all of them are having a good season, or all of them have high expectations.
Right. Because you know what I always think about, like the Expos, when we had the Expos, is that no one seemed to care how the Expos did until the Habs were out of the playoffs.
That's very true.
And I don't know, is that what's happening there?
Well, I mean, the Jays are still drawing great crowds. I happen to work right across the street from the Rogers Center.
Mm-hmm.
So I see all the crowds walking up to the game as I'm leaving the office. So I mean, you know, and tickets were purchased well in advance for most of the Jays games, obviously. So I don't think anyone is pushing the panic button just yet. But it is interesting that the Jays have the worst record in the majors. They have the worst team batting average. They have the least amount of runs scored. They have the least amount of hits. So all their offensive categories are brutal. Obviously, you know, they lost Edwin Encarnacion out of their lineup, and Josh Donaldson is injured. What's going to happen? John Gibbons was just given an extension, I think, 10 days ago or so, or 2 weeks ago, something like that. But if the Jays, you know, continue this till the end of this month and, you know, have a 100 winning percentage by May 1st.
He's gone.
It wouldn't shock me if he'd be gone.
Well, look, he is a terrible manager. I've said that for 3 years already. But The other thing that I've said for 3 years is that the manager doesn't make that much of an influence, especially in baseball. So
right, you have to go with what you've got.
Yeah, so I mean, he's gotten to the playoffs and they've done some damage in the playoffs. They've been knocking on the door of the World Series, but you know, certainly, I mean, look, he can't get up there and make his guys hit, right?
No, I mean, listen, he can pencil in the lineup, he can juggle the lineup, but you know, obviously the guys have to play for themselves. They have to hit, they have to field, they have to do all that stuff. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see, but like you said, because the Leafs are in the playoffs, it's almost like nothing else matters. Now, don't get me wrong, there's still tons of people who love the Raptors and there's still tons of people who love the Jays, and in fact there are people who don't even care about the Leafs at all.
Right. I mean, I guess the beauty of a city like Toronto as compared to Montreal, where I am, it was Montreal's so much smaller than Toronto. Toronto's such a beast of a city that I think there's enough people and enough fans to kind of cater to everything, right?
Yeah, and even, you know, during the heyday when the Expos were around and the Canadians were doing well and I was living in Montreal, that's all there was. You know, there was no NBA team. Mm-hmm. And for about a 10-year period, or at least a 5-year period, there was no CFL team.
Right.
Maybe even longer. I'd have to go back and check that. So there was really only baseball and hockey. And since the Expos didn't make the playoffs all but 1 year, I think, mm-hmm. There was really the only time there was an overlap was this time of year when the Expo season had already started and the Canadians were in the playoffs, which was almost every year.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different here because there's a lot more going on here. And even though I'm not really a fan of any of the Toronto teams, I'll be honest with you, it's just, you know, you see all the people coming to work in their Jays shirts or their Leafs shirts or whatever it may be. So like the city is excited about all this stuff going on at the same time. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good.
What I wanted to do this episode is the NHL playoffs just started 2 days ago. Would have liked to have done an episode 2 days ago or before the playoffs started, but we couldn't because of prior commitments. Mm-hmm. And the NBA playoffs start tomorrow. So what we're going to do this today is going to be our NHL and NBA playoff previews.
Right. Perfect.
And the way we'll do it is I'm going to pepper you with questions on the NBA because I know nothing about it.
Okay.
And you'll pepper me with questions on the NHL.
Check out the Skip and Josh Sports Show on Twitter. You know that little app with the little blue Tweety Bird? Yeah, you can follow them there at Skip and Josh.
Let's go with hockey. So, I mean, all the teams have played, I mean, at the time of this recording, all the teams have played, all the series are one game in. So, I mean, you know, we could either look foolish or great, you know, depending on what we say today, you know, after tonight and the next day. But let's start with, you know, our team, the Habs. How do you feel about that first game?
So I did watch the entire game, and it reminded me actually of Claude Julien's first game when he came back against the Winnipeg Jets, in that midway through the third period, I got the sense that this game's over. There were 10 minutes left, but I got the sense that the game was over because it didn't look like the Canadians had any chance of scoring a goal at all.
I had the same feeling.
Had the Rangers scored on the power play, they didn't, but had they scored on the power play, the game definitely would have been over. And then, of course, they scored an empty netter and the game was done. And the Canadians mounted a bit of a flurry with 24 seconds left in the third period. But at that point, it was too little too late. I'm not really surprised by the outcome. The truth is, the goal that the Rangers scored was a fluky goal off the faceoff, a backhand. So really that game could have gone either way.
Oh,
And the series itself, I mean, had you asked me before the series started, I would have said, yeah, it's probably going to go 7 games and it's going to come down to like, whatever, who gets a lucky bounce in game 7 or something like that.
Actually, I couldn't agree more. I think the Canadians played exactly the same game that they've been playing for the last 20 games under Julien, which is like grind it out, try to win by one goal. I mean, how many games did they win in overtime where they scored a last second goal, where they were down in the third period and they scored? Like, their MO in the game, that game one, was the same as their MO in, you know, the rest, all their other games. It's just they didn't get the bounces and they couldn't score. But like you've been saying since the beginning of time, the Habs have no scoring.
Well, I, along those lines, I have to ask you a few questions. I know this is the part where you're supposed to be asking me, but I saw the starting lineup and I saw the healthy scratches. So maybe you can explain this to me because I haven't followed the Canadians as much as you have. You get all the firsthand news.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Torrey Mitchell was a healthy scratch. I don't understand why Brian Flynn was a healthy scratch. I mean, I get it. Those guys aren't going to score 50 liners. Goals a year.
They're but fourth still. Liners. Yeah. I mean, they've acquired guys at the deadline, and he's using Martinson, Ott, and Dwight King. So, like, Flynn and Mitchell are sacrificed, you know? But
I would have had Flynn and Mitchell in the lineup. That's, you know.
Personally, I think Torrey Mitchell's a better player than Steve Ott. I think Ott is like, I think he's like getting ready for a big war by putting Ott in. I don't know, but
yeah, and it's not like the Rangers are you know the big bad Bruins or the Broad Street Bullies.
I know.
I don't think you need to have your biggest possible lineup in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little confused. Also, more importantly, I don't know why I waited till now to ask you this. What's Galchenyuk doing on the fourth line?
Well, that was my question to you. How do you feel about Galchenyuk on the fourth line?
So, okay, I don't like it at all. And meanwhile, the fourth line was probably one of the best lines for the Canadiens that night.
Yeah, because he's on it.
Exactly. So, okay, you don't want to put him on the first line for whatever reason. You think he has defensive liabilities. That's debatable. Fine. But at worst, he should be on the second line, playing a regular shift, playing on the power play. You put him on the fourth line, that's an embarrassment. It's an insult. It's a demotion. Call it whatever you want to call it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
I'm not a fan. If you're a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, right, or the Washington Capitals, or like one of these teams that can score a lot of goals, that has a lot of offensive talent, I'm all for spreading the wealth and creating balanced lines, you know? But when you're a team like the Habs, who do not have six top six forwards.
No, right? They don't. Do they even have three?
Yeah, you cannot balance your lines. The goal needs to be to score one goal.
Yeah.
You know, or score two goals in a game. That's the goal, right? That's your end, you know, your most desired result. So how do you do that? You don't accomplish that by watering down all your four lines. You should accomplish that by creating one really good line, maybe two, a second line, and then grind out the third and fourth, not by spreading around. So, I mean, look, that's why Julien's paid all the money. That's why he's the head coach. And you know as well as I do, if the Habs don't score in the first period tonight, Galchenyuk's going to be on the second line back where he belongs.
Or he may even start the game on the second line because of what happened last game. You never know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not going to play center. I think the idea of Galchenyuk playing center is finished.
Yeah, I don't care what position he plays, center, wing, whatever. That
I always thought
make
he should be playing
me.
Wing. Everyone here is screaming we should need to use him at center. I'm like, no. Have you watched this guy play? He's a winger. Have you seen his one-timer from the off-boards, the side-boards? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's a winger, right?
It's similar to Steve Stamkos.
100%, exactly. And Stamkos is actually in the same situation, whereas he wants to play center, and his team realizes, his coach always realizes he's better at wing. So, what do you feel about the Leafs? How do you feel about the Leafs game last night? Were you able to catch any of it? I mean, I watched most of it, and I saw the overtime, but...
Actually, I only watched the first period of the Leafs game.
Right.
So, I mean, it was pretty crazy that the Leafs got out to such a quick lead.
Yeah.
And then added to it. Now, it's interesting, because before the game... The day before and 2 days before, all you heard on the sports talk radio shows in Toronto was that, yeah, we're probably going to lose to the Capitals, but maybe we could win a game. But, you know, it's just nice to make the playoffs, that sort of thing. Like, they were pretty much already counting the Leafs out. And I don't know why, because if you look at the Washington Capitals history, they don't have a good playoff history at all.
No.
So if there's any team that's ripe for the taking... It's the Capitals. Yeah, I know they won the President's Trophy or the President's Cup or whatever it's called. And I think they won it last year, too. But that doesn't mean anything in the NHL. I think in the last 8 years, the team that's had the best record overall in the NHL has won the Stanley Cup once.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean anything. Now, as for the game itself, Justin Williams scored the two goals to tie up the game for Washington. And it's interesting because I saw between period interview with him. And you know what I've said my entire life, between period interviews
they're
with
useless.
The players, they're completely useless, whether it's hockey or football or basketball. These interviews are useless. However, I was interested in what Justin Williams actually said. I mean, I don't remember it verbatim, but he was the reporter asked him, you know, are you guys panicking? You're down 2-0. What's going to happen? And he was very calm, and you could tell that he's a veteran, and you could tell that he's been on Stanley Cup winning teams. He said, you know, the people in the building might be panicking, the media might be panicking, but we're not panicking on our bench, we're not panicking in the locker room. And sure enough, they came back and tied up the game and then won in overtime. So it was interesting. It was one of the few between period interviews that I saw with an athlete that actually he gave a legitimate answer, and the answer was actually meaningful and actually gave insight to the viewer.
Right. It's beautiful. I mean, it's like when in every city, I mean, I hear it here in Montreal, you hear it in Toronto. I guarantee you it's the same in Nashville, it's the same in Chicago, Calgary, Edmonton, everywhere. It's overreaction theater. You know, the day after a loss, it's like, let's analyze all the minutiae of the game and figure out why we lost. You know, whereas the real reason why you lost is because hockey in the playoffs is a game about weird bounces. You know, playoff hockey is not very good, if you ask me. It's complete, no penalties are called. It's free for all in terms of the physical play. The refs don't call anything. It's incredibly difficult to score. And what makes playoff hockey good is the drama. The drama of it, not the gameplay, you know, not the caliber of the game.
Yeah, you're right. All the games that each team's played a game so far, and all the scores have been very low scoring games. I think the highest scoring game was 3-2, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right in that sense. And it is more intense. And this is why players who have never played in the playoffs before,
they don't know, even
guys like Connor McDavid, who had a great season, and Austin Matthews had a great season, they've never played playoff hockey before. It's completely different.
Yeah.
And so calls that would normally happen in the regular season, as you said, don't happen in the playoffs. So players get away with more stuff, which it hurts the skilled players like Matthews and McDavid. It hurts them.
Yeah, you're right.
So one thing I want to say about the playoffs as a whole, everyone was very excited, I'm sure, in Montreal and in Toronto and the rest of the country, because there are five Canadian teams that qualified for the postseason this year, which is five more than what happened last year. But if you had asked me before the playoffs started, of course, it's easy for me to say this now when every team's played a full game. Had you asked me before the playoffs started, I would have said to you, I'm not going to be surprised if there are zero Canadian teams in round two.
Yeah, well, I agree. I don't think Calgary has really much of a chance. I don't think Edmonton has much of a chance. Canadiens is 50-50. Same with Ottawa. And Toronto is, you know, obviously the worst possibility. I guess Ottawa has the biggest chance of coming out only because of the opponent that they're playing, right?
Actually, if you ask me which of the five had the best chance of advancing to the next round,
yeah,
I'd say it's Montreal, actually. Yeah. Only because the team that they're playing is they're ordinary. The Rangers have a great goaltender, but so do the Canadiens. The Rangers, I think the Canadiens beat them three times this year.
Yeah.
Now the regular season is completely different. I get it. But if there was one Canadian team that was going to come out around one, I'd still say the Canadiens. Look, they're down 1-0 in this series. But as I said, it was a 1-0 game with an empty net goal. The winning goal was a fluke goal. And that game could have gone either way. And game two can go, you know, flip a coin, basically.
So going out to the West, what's your feelings about, like, who's the strongest team in the West? Like, do you feel San Jose? I guess you feel San Jose is a good bet over Edmonton and Anaheim over Calgary. I think those are, you know, what do you feel about, like, Nashville, Chicago? Like, Nashville came up with that first win, right?
So again, I'll answer your questions as if I don't know what happened in game one. So yes, I think the Sharks are going to win that series against the Oilers. They just have too much playoff experience and the Oilers have none. And I think that the Ducks are going to beat the Flames. I don't think the Flames have beaten the Ducks in I don't know how many years, to be honest with you.
Right. I saw a stat, something like Calgary hasn't won in Anaheim's building since 2004 or something.
Yeah, something like that. So Anaheim's going to beat Calgary. In the Chicago series, I know they lost game 1-1-0, but my money's actually on Chicago to win the Stanley Cup, and I'll tell you why. First of all, it's pretty much the same team that won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, I think.
They always always get rid of veterans because they can't pay them, and then they just replace them with new young guys.
Right, but the core of the team, I mean, Crawford's still the goalie. Well, the core Kane of the is still there. The same. Taves is still there. Yep. Seabrook's still there. Keith is still there. You know, those guys are all there. Plus, the Blackhawks are similar to the San Francisco Giants in that they win every second year.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me I have to pick one team out of the 16, who do I think is going to win the cup? I'm gonna go with the Hawks.
Yeah, but they do have a tough first round against Nashville.
Sure they do, of course. But I'm not even worried about them being down 1-0. The truth is, every team that won game one in the series, every series could be tied 1-1 after game two.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's how close all these series are.
I think every series is going to go 6 or 7, other than I think maybe Washington and possibly Pittsburgh.
Certainly, speaking of the Western Conference, if there's one series that's definitely going 7 games, it's St. Louis and Minnesota, which we haven't spoken of at all.
No, I mean, did you see the save that Jake Allen made?
I actually haven't seen it. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
It was all over the place. It was actually a lot of more embellishment than a great save in a way. Like, you know how the goalies snap the glove after they catch it? But
yeah.
But it was still an incredible save. And, you know, he clearly played the game of his life. Look, I'll tell you something about Jake Allen. I've followed this guy since forever. He was the goalie here for the
Montreal Juniors.
The Juniors when we had a junior team. So I went to the old Verdun Arena and I saw him play. And of course he dominated in junior. But you know what? He played for Team Canada, the World Juniors, and he was terrible because he has a track record of just not coming through in clutch situations. And he played the game of his life in that first game against Minnesota. And I mean, like I think Minnesota is still going to win that series. I don't know how you feel.
I think Minnesota's going to win, but I think it's going to go 7 games. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk by any stretch.
Right.
And in the East, I didn't actually give you my predictions, but
we're kind of going not in order, but
that's
yeah.
All right. That's all right.
Yeah.
So I think the Canadians will win in 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bruins are going to beat the Senators.
Yeah.
I think the Penguins are going to beat the Blue Jackets.
Right.
I think the Capitals are going to beat the Leafs.
Right.
And you know, but there's not going to be any sweeps by any team.
The only sweep could happen is Washington, if you ask me.
I don't even think that's going to be a
sweep. I think the Leafs, there's a good chance that the Leafs may have played the best possible game they could have and still came up short. And they're going to kind of be looking for what else can we do type of thing. But we'll see.
Anyway, I mean, the Leaf fans shouldn't despair because they've got a young team that's up and coming, they're on the rise.
It's all positive for the Leafs. I mean,
yeah, they're getting playoff experience, and so it'll make them that much better.
Yeah.
You remember before the Edmonton Oilers, the Wayne Gretzky days, before they ever won their first cup, they lost to the Flyers, they lost to the Islanders, you know, but eventually they won the cup. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, that's for sure. And what do you feel about the Penguins? I mean, they're the defending champs, and I think they're a little bit overlooked, don't you think?
Well, okay, so first of all, yes, they're the defending champs, but you know, one season to the next doesn't really make. I mean, you can't really compare the two because it's not exactly the same team.
Right.
The Penguins have a ton of injuries. They had a ton of injuries going into the playoffs, like an entire line and an entire defensive pairing.
Well, I mean, Letang is a huge blow, right?
It is a huge blow.
Yeah.
And then in the warmups, they lose Murray.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, the Penguins happen to have the best backup goalie in the league, who would be a starter on half the teams, maybe.
Yeah.
So it didn't really affect them that much, and they ended up winning the game. Do I think the Penguins are going to beat Columbus? Yes, I do. Do I think the Penguins are going to repeat as Stanley Cup champs? No, I don't. And I don't even think they're going to be the representative from the Eastern Conference.
Wow.
Now, I also, you know, I've said this before, by the way, so and I think I was the first one to say it months ago, the fact that Pittsburgh and Columbus are playing each other in the first round is completely ridiculous. You have two of the top four teams in the league facing each other in the first round. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah, no, the NHL playoff format is absurd. And, I mean, but there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to play with how it is. But
right,
the fact that Columbus is playing Pittsburgh and it's like two of the top teams in the whole NHL record-wise, you know, and they're playing in the first round, is a little bit ridiculous.
I wonder, I know that, you know, this they've changed the playoff format many times since I've been following the NHL, but I don't know when that actually happens. Like, do they have to have meetings in the offseason and say, we're changing the playoff format, or does it have to happen at those winter meetings in Florida or in Vegas that they have? Like, I'm not sure how those rule changes take place, and do the Players Association have to agree to all those?
I think they do, yeah.
I don't know what the rules are.
I'm sure the Players Association has to agree, but they usually agree to that kind of stuff. But, you know, the NHL's changed their playoff format so many times. It's like...
It is hard to keep
track. At a certain point, it's like, pick something and go with it, you know?
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, but again, as we said on the last episode, and I think two episodes ago, any decision that the league makes, whatever league it is, it's based on money. So if a decision is going to make them more money, they'll do it. Although I don't see why.
I don't see how this makes them more money.
Exactly. Honestly. I don't see either.
No, so, because the TV ratings are going to be the TV rate. Maybe there's a little bit better TV ratings in that they're trying to get the rivalries. right?
Yeah, but so you could get the rivalries in round two.
But I don't think they've gotten any rivalries this year. You know, like there's no rivalries in the first round right now.
Right. Well, Boston's not playing Montreal. Toronto's not playing Ottawa.
There's no rivalries in the first round. The only rivalry in the first round.
Pittsburgh and Columbus are actually a pretty good rivalry because they're not that far from each other geographically.
Right. And I think Nashville considers Chicago a rival, although I don't think Chicago maybe considers them a rival.
You're right. Actually, I heard the PK Subban interview with Bill Simmons.
Yeah, and he said.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right.
I think Nashville really wants Chicago, but I don't think Chicago could care less.
Right, it's like when Duke played Maryland. Maryland was always up for the Duke games, but Duke didn't really care.
It's so true. And actually, San Jose, Edmonton used to be a pretty good rivalry back, you know, way back when, you know, like Ryan Smith days. Remember, they met in the playoffs like quite a few times, San Jose and Edmonton. But, you know, that's long gone, you know.
The interesting thing is the standings were so close. I don't need to tell you, there wasn't much separating any of the teams. We were so close to having Ottawa playing Toronto in the first round and Edmonton playing Calgary in the first round.
Yeah.
So those would have been huge rivalries.
Well, I mean, Ottawa and Toronto,
and then you would have been guaranteed of having at least two Canadian teams in round two.
Yeah.
But anyway, it just worked out the way it worked out, and you can't control these things. But it's just funny how close we were to having those two big rivalries actually show up in the first round, actually take place in the first round. So
one last thing before we move to the NBA preview.
Yes.
You know, last week I gave you a preemptive what bugs me about already lamenting the fact there would be day games in the Habs Rangers series.
Mm-hmm.
And then the schedule came out and there was no day game. So I'll give myself a strike on that one.
No, but they haven't announced, in case the Canadiens series goes like 5, 6, or 7 games, they haven't announced the times for those 3 games yet, so it might still happen.
Oh, so I could be proved completely right with a game 7 in the afternoon.
You could be. You
that
could
be. Well, that would be the joy of my life.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is back.
So let's move over to the NBA, because the NBA playoffs start tomorrow.
Yeah.
And actually, before I ask you any questions, this is not really an official what bugs me, but something that's been bugging me this past week is I listen to ESPN radio or Fox Sports radio or CBS Sports radio at night.
Mm-hmm.
And all they've been talking about is who's the MVP in the NBA? Who's the MVP in the NBA? I'm tired of hearing this story. I don't want to hear about it. I don't even care. It should be Westbrook. Doesn't matter to me that his team is in sixth place or whatever they finished. Clearly, he had a remarkable season that hasn't been done by anybody in the last, I think, 50 years or maybe at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be Westbrook, and that's that. Don't tell me that this guy's team had a better record and this guy did that.
I agree with you 100%. You have Oklahoma City. They lost their best player, one of the top 5 players in the whole league,
mm-hmm.
and they still had a winning record and made the playoffs. So obviously, Russell Westbrook did something, right?
Yeah.
to get his team into the playoffs, and it's basically all him. So, I mean, you know, I listen to a lot of the same stuff that you do, and there is one show that made a very interesting argument towards Harden. Not necessarily towards Harden, but the fact that if you're picking Russell Westbrook MVP solely because he had all those triple-doubles, that's not a reason. And so, like, I just gave you the reason, like, getting his team to the playoffs despite losing Durant. So I'm not part of that. But, like,
in fact, I'll go a step further. I'll add to your point. I think that Oklahoma City had, was it 5 less wins than they had last season?
Yeah,
is that
that's amazing?
Am I right about that?
Something like it's
less,
around
it's less
there.
than 10. It's between 5 and 8 less wins than and so you lost the best player or one of the top 5 players in the league, and you only went down by 5 wins. That's amazing.
That's incredible. I mean, that no other team would do that. You know what I mean?
No.
So look, it was interesting because I read up a lot this week about the origin of the triple double. Where did this come from? This triple double business, and what I found out was that it was in the mid-80s, early 80s, and there was a Lakers PR guy who wanted to hype up Magic Johnson as MVP of the league, and this guy created the triple-double stat.
Well, it's a made-up thing.
It's a made-up thing, you know, but it is what it is, you know, and ever since then, we've been kind of looking for it, you know. But, I mean, to be able to score that many points, that many rebounds, and that many assists every game, you're obviously doing something right.
Right, and if you want to even throw out this triple-double thing, just look at stats. Like, look at points per game. Look at assists. Well, look, I know, at steals.
But,
look at rebounds.
But James Harden
at...
has more points per game and more assists than Westbrook.
Okay, what about the other stats, though?
No,
what
he
about
doesn't.
Rebounds?
He doesn't.
What about blocks?
No,
what,
he doesn't. You know? And everyone knows that James Harden doesn't play defense either. So.
Also, James Harden has a better supporting cast around
him. I'm not sure about that. I mean, Houston was the garbage last year, and they pretty much have the same team, but they did so much better, mostly because he elevated his play.
Okay.
So, I mean, I see the argument towards Harden, but, like, I just feel like there's no way it can't be Westbrook. Anyways, I don't want to go too much into the MVP business because it's incredibly overblown already, you know? Because the MVP in the NBA, there's one year where Karl Malone won the MVP of the league over Michael Jordan. And ever since that day, the MVP of the NBA means nothing to me.
Okay.
Right? Because basically...
People got tired of voting for Jordan.
Karl Malone won because the voters were bored of voting for Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Right? So if that's what takes to be the MVP, then I don't want to be the MVP. You know,
okay.
So, yeah.
So let's get into the playoff matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a clean slate because they don't start till tomorrow, so no one's played a game yet. We'll go through every series, but we'll start with the Toronto series since they're the only Canadian team in the NBA.
Sure.
And they're playing Milwaukee. And I believe referred to as the Greek Freak, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So what's your prognosis on the Raptors?
I'm not a Raptors fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I do love what they did with their team this year. You know, they've got Lowry, DeRozan, tremendous backcourt, and they really improved their team with two huge acquisitions, PJ Tucker, and of course Serge Ibaka. So, I mean, I think they're ready to contend, Toronto. Their team is there, you know. They have the team to do it. So, I mean, I don't see how they're not going to get past Milwaukee. I do think that they're going to beat them, although it could be a long series. Toronto is, you know, they don't tend to put opponents away, and Milwaukee is a very tough team to defend in that every single guy in their team is like 6'8" or taller, right? So they're a little bit tricky to defend, but I mean, I do see Toronto winning the first round.
Okay. So in the rest of the East, I guess we'll go in order then.
Sure.
You've got, surprisingly, the Celtics winning the conference.
Yeah.
Finishing first ahead of Cleveland.
So speaking of MVP,
Like,
the Celtics are first in the East. Like, is Isaiah Thomas going to get MVP votes? Like,
he'll get some votes, but he's not going to win it.
Yeah.
So they're playing the Bulls,
yeah,
who squeaked into the playoffs.
Yeah, the Bulls are lousy. They're a mess. I don't even... It's pretty remarkable that they made the playoffs.
Only because who they beat, the Heat?
Yeah. But, I mean, I see the Celtics winning the series, but, I mean, it could go seven, if you ask me.
Okay.
I don't think... Yeah. Look, the Celtics are first in the East, but they're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. They have only one guy that can score. One guy.
Right.
That's
so
it.
You shut him down, you basically
shut him down. You're dead, because nobody else can shoot. So Avery Bradley becomes very important to them, because he might be the secondary type of shooter. What the Celtics do is play incredible team basketball, and it's incredible team defense. Like, their defenders... Like, they have guys that can defend their position, you know, better than almost anybody else. You know, Al Horford could defend the post as good as any big man in the league. Avery Bradley is a one-on-one defender on the perimeter as good as anybody in the league. Marcus Smart might be the best defender in the league. Jay Crowder, also right up there. Like, that's four guys that are in the top 10, I would say, of defensive players in the league.
It's also four guys whose names I've never heard of in my life.
So that's why, if you're asking why are the Celtics so good, they play defense. But that can only take you so far, you know. So, yes, I think they'll beat Chicago.
So, before the season started, pretty much everyone who follows basketball said that Cleveland's going to play Golden State in the finals again for the third straight time.
I still believe that.
So, that was my question to you. Cleveland finished second. So, now they have a little bit more of a difficult path to get to the finals.
Yeah.
So, first question is, will finishing second affect the Cavaliers at all? And what do you think is their fate?
Well, there's definitely something wrong with the Cavaliers. They kind of limped into the playoffs. They've lost, you know, look, they lost 31 games, you know, like, that's a lot of games for an elite team, you know, when you see the teams like the Warriors that lost 15 games and the Spurs who lost 21, you know, like, the Cavs had the same record as the Clippers, right? So, I mean... There's something wrong either with the makeup of the team internally. I mean,
it starts and ends with LeBron. So if he's great, they're going to win. And usually he's great, so they will win. You know, I think they'll beat Indiana without any problem. But it's getting into the next round of games that it's going to get more difficult for them because there's just something not clicking there. And, you know, LeBron basically had his coach fired last year and handpicked the coach's replacement. And he also is dictating every move made by the GM and the owner. So he's the basically the owner, GM, and coach of the team and star player. Mm-hmm. So it's all on him. And I think that when some dysfunctional stuff starts to happen and there's dissension in the ranks, there's only so much he can do. You know, it's basically fingers are pointed at him. So if things start to go bad, it's going to go bad. You know,
I think we'll know a lot after game one or maybe even halfway through game one, because, you know, if you ask LeBron or anyone on the Cavaliers, they'll probably say, you know what, the regular season doesn't mean much.
That's
we made
exactly
the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all we really cared about. Doesn't really matter where we finish. So sure, we might have lost 31 games, but whatever.
There's
see what we do.
There's a theory out there that LeBron's orchestrated this controversy and made it look like his team is like dysfunctional in an attempt to motivate everybody and get them all pulling in the right direction for the playoffs. It's like a mind games.
Wouldn't surprise me.
My son says not to sleep on Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah, because he thinks Lance Stephenson, you know, not that you know who that is.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy that blew in LeBron's ear.
Yeah, he's back on the Pacers. So he thinks Lance Stephenson's going to take them to the next level in terms of intensity. But, I mean, the Cleveland's too good. They're going to beat Indiana. There's never upsets in the NBA playoffs.
No, and so, but the one series I haven't asked you about is the 4-5 series, which if there was going to be an upset, it would happen there.
Yeah.
So what's your prognosis for the Wizards
and
Hawks?
I still like Washington to win that series. Like, I'm not a believer in Atlanta. They're okay. I think Washington is a talented team whose record is maybe not as good as the talent. They started off very poorly this year. Then they went on a real big winning streak and then they came back to earth a little bit. But I think John Wall just himself can be the difference to, you know, over Atlanta for sure.
But I think it's safe to say that in the NBA, the playoffs don't really start until round two.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they certainly don't.
Now, that said, we haven't talked about the West at all.
Right, okay.
So Golden State's playing Portland in round one.
It's not even close. Golden State's going to win easily.
Okay.
With Durant or without Durant, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of like spring training for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
It's also spring training for the Spurs against Memphis.
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think there's anything happening there. Yeah.
So then you've got Houston and Oklahoma City.
Well, this is where it could be some upsets. The 3-6 in the West and the 4-5, I think both could go either way. So obviously we were just talking about Harden and Westbrook. So the MVP vote is happening before the series takes place.
Mm-hmm. As even it though, should, because it's a regular season award.
Even though they're not going to announce it. You know, usually they announce the MVP during the playoffs. That I read this year that they're not doing that because they're going to have like an awards show at the end of the year type of
just
thing.
Just like the NHL does.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly going to be incredible to have Harden versus Westbrook. I mean, you know, Houston, they set the record for most three-pointers attempted, most three-pointers made by a team. Like, that's their motto, right? Their coach's philosophy is they want to shoot the most three-pointers possible.
More than Golden State even?
Yeah, more than Golden State.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I actually like Oklahoma City to win this series.
Okay.
I think it's a mild upset, but I think Russell Westbrook can will his team to victory, to be honest.
Okay.
And I love their supporting cast. I think there's a certain amount of toughness that happens in the NBA playoffs that you don't get in the regular season, that you need in the playoffs, I should say. And with Steven Adams... And they have Sabonis. They have like I think they have the right makeup to you know pull off this upset against Houston.
Okay, great. And then the last series is the 4-5, the Clippers and the Jazz.
Well, look, the Clippers are a different team when Chris Paul's on the court versus when he's not on the court. He's never fully healthy. He's always injured. And then he comes back and I'm a huge fan of the Clippers like core when they're playing well. You know, Chris Paul, JJ Redick, Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, but like there's something about this team that's like their window's closed, right? The window of that core, that unit, you know, going all the way, that's over. So they're kind of just hanging on at this point. And I think I really like the Jazz to pull it off. I think they're such a well-balanced team, and a guy that you've also never heard of, Rudy Gobert, is probably like the most dominant defensive big man in the league. The guy's a rebounding and shot blocking machine. So I like Utah to win that series.
I don't even think that's an upset because I just looked and the two teams have an identical record.
Yeah, they have the same record. I guess the Clippers have home court based on some
maybe head to head matchups during the season or something. Who knows?
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to continue and go like second round and stuff, or maybe we'll do that after the round's over.
Let's do that after the round's over.
Okay, but I mean.
Well, I do want to ask you, who's going to meet in the finals?
I still think it's Cleveland Golden State.
Okay.
Although I'm not going to be cheering for Cleveland, I never have. I'm going to be cheering for the Celtics to pull it off, and even if it can't be the Celtics, I'll pull for the Raptors. But I mean, I still think, you know, basketball. There's only five guys on the court. Sometimes only eight or nine guys get in the game, right? Only five on the court at once. And when you have one guy that's as dominant as LeBron James on the court for literally the whole game, I mean, you're going to win, right?
And so between Cleveland and Golden State in the finals, who's going to win it all?
Well, if Durant's healthy, I think it's Golden State.
That's probably a safe bet since they were the best team in the league without him, and they added one of the best players in the league. So they should be the best team.
It took Cleveland seven games to beat them last year.
Right.
And now they added Durant.
Cleveland added Korver and some other guy whose name I don't remember.
Cleveland's better, but you know, Cleveland's a little bit better, but you know, they haven't played better.
Cleveland's also older, right?
Yeah, yeah. LeBron, as great as LeBron is, I mean, he is older, right? He's older than he's been, so he doesn't shoot as well. But he's still such a physical, like, beast, you know? Like, he could do whatever he wants on the court, to be honest. I never understood how come, and like crunch time, LeBron James just doesn't put his head down, you know, and just take it to the basket every time.
Well, he did in the finals last year.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, so because he's very unselfish by nature, so he looks to include his teammates. But that's what, to me, that's what separates him and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan always wanted to take that last shot, and LeBron usually looks for the best shot, you know?
Right. I guess the only weakness that maybe the Golden State Warriors have is in order to get Kevin Durant, they had to lose some of their top defensive big men.
Yeah, they're not deep like they were last year. They don't have the same depth Golden State. So, but when they have their five, their big five on the court, you know, with, you know, Draymond Green at center, it's a scary lineup, you know?
So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. I love it.
So that's my NBA picks.
Awesome.
So we'll probably reconvene and do like a little bit more on the NHL and the NBA as the playoffs move forward in both leagues.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have another episode in a week. And, you know, I don't think that any of the series are going to be over by then because each team will probably have played four games, maybe five by that point.
Well, in the NBA, some teams could have played four while someone other series might have played one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't understand the NBA playoff schedule. I know it all has to do with television, but it makes no sense because sometimes teams take like a week off.
Yeah. So as much as we criticize the NHL playoff format, the NHL playoff schedule is the best.
It is, although now some teams don't play every second day. If you look, the Canadians play every second day, but there are some teams who have 2 days off between games.
I mean, there's things in the arenas that complicate things and whatnot.
But the NBA playoff format is great because you've got 1 versus 8 and 2 versus 7 and so on and so forth, which is how it should be.
Yeah, yeah. Except sometimes round two starts before another round one series isn't over.
Which I agree with that. I mean, if you know the team that you're playing and both teams are ready to start, might as well start.
Let's get it on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
So.
All right. Well, I look forward to talking to you next time.
Great. And what are your plans for this weekend?
Oh, well, I'm glad you ask. Well, as you know, it's my birthday tomorrow, and thank you very much.
You know what? I was going to wish you happy birthday on the show
because
I thought we were going to record tomorrow, but since we're not recording tomorrow, I'm going to wish you an early happy birthday today.
I'll be taking in the Montreal Impact home opener, so to speak. I mean, they had one game at the Olympic Stadium, but this is the real home opener at the Stade Saputo.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's the home opener tomorrow, so I'll be going to that with Matthew, and thank you very much for the tickets, Josh.
My pleasure. I hope you guys have a great time, and we need a full report when you're done.
All right.
Well,
so
enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your birthday.
Thank you.
And we'll talk next week.
All right. Great talking to you.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is over now. Don't worry. There'll be another episode soon.